You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Baltimore Orioles with MLB.com's Orioles beat reporter, Brittany Giroli. Brittany, you wrote an interesting piece earlier in the week about this is a really pivotal stretch of schedule coming up for the Orioles, and certainly possible things change between now and when this goes live, so this may seem, I may seem a little like an idiot in a few hours, but as of now, the Orioles are in danger of losing the first three games of this series. There's to some extent it's kind of a dumb question. You lose games in July, it's bad, but if this trip doesn't get turned around, if they don't find their footing over the next week, how big a deal is that as far as approach to the deadline and that kind of thing?
Well, it's definitely a big deal, and Executive Vice President of Baseball Operations Dan Duquette still maintains that no matter what happens on this road trip, and they will cap it off this weekend in Tampa, that no matter what happens, they're going to still be looking to be buyers. They're not going to be sellers. But you know, it would be hard if they were, and obviously right now it looks like they may get swept here in New York. They did win the first series in Detroit, but they do continue to lose ground to the Yankees. Every loss in New York is really like two losses because it puts the Yankees up a little, it puts the Orioles back a little. So I think that they are still looking to be active. They do want to win now because they're going to lose so many guys to free agency that they really don't have a choice, Matthew. I mean, if they decide that they're going to be sellers and this team is looking at another couple years before they're good because, again, they're losing so many guys at the end of the season, they kind of have to go for it. The window is now.
Right, and that's sort of the interesting question. I mean, it's not really in this organization's DNA to make big deadline splashes. You know, as we've talked about before, what Dan Duquette does better than anybody is find those subtle moves that pay off really well. But they're getting mentioned, at least, with some big names, with guys like Justin Upton, who was of interest to them, I believe, over the winter, Carlos Gomez. They obviously have an outfield need. Could you see them making that kind of splash and doing something that, again, is somewhat out of character and bringing in a real all-star caliber outfielder?
I'd be surprised because, you know, just talking to scouts and people in the organization, they feel like in order to make that impact move, they would have to move a Manny Machado or Jonathan Scope or Kevin Gausman, and quite simply, that's not going to happen. So, you know, you have to give up something to get something. Obviously, that's kind of the way it works. So unless they're able to pull off some kind of major steal, I don't see them acquiring a major player here. I don't see them getting a big starter, even though, as you know, this time of year they're rumored in anything and everything. And there was a report yesterday about Kevin Gausman potentially being a guy they would trade. Buck said this morning on MLB Network Radio that that was just laughable. So, you know, it's really that time of year where you're going to hear them rumoring a lot of things. I just don't think at the end of the day that they waver from that organizational philosophy. They're certainly not going to give up another top guy, another young guy. Their two top pitching prospects, Hunter Harvey and Dylan Bundy, are both rehabbing from various injuries. So both of them are kind of lower, their stock's lower than it normally would. And you saw them last year give up Eduardo Rodriguez, which killed them, in order to get Andrew Miller. Now Eduardo Rodriguez, of course, is doing very well in Boston. I know they had to make that move, but I just don't see them doing that where they kind of empty the cupboard in the minor leagues. I see them making a smaller move again.
I do want to put a pin in that Gausman question because as anybody who listens to this knows, he's a guy of interest to me, and that has been a story. But first, I wonder, you know, you talk about a guy like Upton, that you can understand where that's a non-starter. If it's somebody like a Gomez, not just him, but if it's a player that you'd have some control of. You know, Gomez is signed through next year. If it's a guy that they would have for a little while, you know, to use another example, a guy like Cole Hamels, not that they're in dire need of rotation help, but if there were an impact guy who they'd have control of for a while, does that change that equation at all, or is that still a non-starter?
Maybe a little bit, but I still don't see them trading either one of those three guys, and I think that's what teams are looking for the most. You know, somebody, a young rising star, to package a deal around. And if you're not going to trade, go for Machado or Gausman, what are you going to do that's going to make the other team say, all right, you can have this guy? I don't see what else they can do to really get those kind of guys, to get the Uptons or the Carlos Gomez's. I don't see how they can do that unless teams get desperate, which there are so many teams right now that are still in it, that still have a chance, and it's becoming tougher and tougher to really get those desperation deals at the deadline.
As I said, I want to go back to Gosman because it's an interesting name. You know, he's a guy who has been identified as a real, presumably a front of the rotation guy for them for years to come. But there does seem to be a lot of noise about him being potentially available. As you note, the manager says no way. Where do you think that comes from? Do you just think that comes from maybe other clubs asking on him, and that's kind of what gets out? Because that does happen this time of year.
Probably, and you know how it is too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's just thrown against the wall. So I think that maybe somebody said, well, you know, we're not trading him, but if someone blew us away, you know, that kind of thing gets misconstrued. All of a sudden, it looks like the Orioles are shopping Kevin Gausman. He's not on the table. I would be more than shocked, whatever the word would be for more than shocked, if they trade Kevin Gausman. I don't think it's happening. I just think it's a lot of talk, which always kind of happens around this time when you get to late July.
As it stands now, and we kind of touched on this at the beginning, there's a pretty decent chance they're going to be 6.5 out of first place at the end of the day, and somewhere between 3.5 and 4.5 out in the wild card, which is a tougher hill to climb because you've got so many clubs involved in that. That becomes kind of a big mass of teams fighting for two spots. And so I wonder, again, just philosophically, as you know, I don't think anybody thinks this team is going to sell. But as that equation changes, how do they view that? Does that make it more essential to do something? Does it make them more measured? Just in terms of the philosophy, not so much of the specific moves. As those odds change, how do they sort of view that?
Well, honestly, I think as they fall further and further out, you've got to make some kind of dramatic move because, like I said, they have so many guys that they're going to lose that they feel like they can't afford to pay at the end of the season that are going to be free agents that, you know, if you were far enough out, if there was a Kansas City Royals in your division or a Cardinals-type team, if the Orioles were facing a daunting uphill battle, it would be in their best interest to sell and see what you can get for a Wei-Yin Chen or a, you know, Chris Davis, Matt Wieters, all these guys that they're going to project to lose at the end of the year, but they're not in that situation. So they're within striking distance. I think they have to do whatever it takes to stay in this because they might not get this chance again for another few years. I mean, their team could be completely decimated. You could be looking at a complete start-from-scratch operation. And let's not forget that the Duquette to Toronto rumors, I'm sure, will pick up even more steam again this winter. So you're looking at an organization that could be at a pivotal point, maybe at some crossroads here this winter. That's why I think as they get further along, they have to go for it. Maybe they jump and make a bigger move than anyone could have expected. I don't know. Again, they don't have the luxury of sitting back and waiting and say there's always next year. They didn't really do much this offseason, and now it's coming back to haunt them.
Yeah, I mean, so that's kind of the interesting question. If they are not going to part with these young major league players and two of the top lights in the farm system are out of the picture and they need to do something, I mean, where does that kind of leave them? Is it maybe multiple moves? Is it, you know, a few different Duquette specials where he tries to buy cheap and find some multiple interesting guys? Is it something creative? Is it dealing a major league pitcher out of their rotation? I mean, what if they've got to do something and the sort of seemingly obvious ways are either out of the question for them or not an option, what does that leave?
Right. I don't know. I mean, I'm just as interested as anyone else to see what they manage to do. I mean, they are master manipulators when it comes to that current roster. So I don't know if it's going to really test Duquette's ability to find a smaller move that's going to really impact them. I do think if they get an outfielder and they're able to kind of cut ties with two guys on their roster, it would help them, you know, addition by subtraction. They'd have a little bit more roster flexibility. But again, I'm curious as well because they can't make a big trade, like I mentioned. Their top prospects really aren't doing that well. There's nobody down in the minors who you say, ooh, we just got to wait for this guy to come up. He's going to change the whole landscape. So they're really at a very interesting time, and it's going to be fascinating to see what they end up doing, if anything, and how they end up selling it here over these next few weeks, because they've made moves past the trade deadline that have helped them. Specifically last year, they were able to go out and get Alejandro De Auza. He did a real nice job for them. and they're able to do some smaller things. Jimmy Paredes, and he's come out and really helped them this year. Will they be able to do that again? I'm not sure. You know, they haven't really hit on any of these smaller moves. So is their luck running out? I don't know. I think it'll be fascinating to watch over the next few weeks what they're able to pull off, if anything.
Could you see them moving a major league starting pitcher? I mean, that seems to be one area where even if they don't deal Gausman, there's some depth there. There's some guys who've stepped in and shown something. Obviously, they'd love to move Norris, but that's not a guy with a lot of value right now. But if you're getting creative and you're thinking of ways to approach things, is an option to deal from the major league rotation, say, hey, we've got depth to cover this, to upgrade some other area of the roster?
It's always an option. I mean, and Yimaldo Jimenez has struggled again out there today for his second consecutive start. He's owed a lot of money. Maybe you look into ways where teams would potentially pick that up, and the Orioles get salary relief, and you're looking at promoting a Mike Wright or a Tyler Wilson in AAA to kind of take that rotation spot. You mentioned Norris. They'd love to deal Norris, but like you said, his stock is low. So maybe it is something they look into, something they explore, because that would be a little bit more of a creative way to get something back. Again, though, their starters aren't in high demand. You're not talking about a Johnny Cueto type of guy, but you know, somebody could see a Yubaldo Jimenez and say, you know, maybe he'll work out elsewhere. He did have a real nice run going. So I don't know what they do, but that's certainly an area where they can look and say, maybe we have some chips here. Maybe we can make something happen. Again, this is a lot of pressure here on this front office, because, like I said, the window is now. How do they turn this around? How do they keep the Orioles in it? Because this team, over the last few days in New York, has looked like a team that is free-falling.
All right. Well, on that note, Brittany Giroli, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.